KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good morning, listeners. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And the name of this program is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. We do it every week.
That's right. It's your weekly source for point and laugh reporting on the video game industry.
And we're going to do that right here. Let me tell you where I was just 1 hour ago. I was at Ignite Phoenix. Not a point and laugh event, but it was kind of fun. So if anyone here was at Ignite Phoenix or just in Phoenix and thinks they might want to go in the future, you should give it a shot. It was actually kind of fun. Not related to video games in any way, as far as I could tell, but interesting nonetheless. It's a kind of a social media group of people, but it's not about social media. It's just a bunch of the talks and the peoples and the stuff. So it was fun.
Do you feel ignited?
No.
Sounds like a failure to me.
I felt bummed that I had to leave early to come here.
Yes, because I was totally, what's the word, griefing you to show up early.
Oh, yeah, you're like, make sure you're not late. I'm like, what is...
That's right.
Or no, you said, make sure you're on time. I'm like,
that's
what does on time mean?
That's right.
Be here by 9. 9:05, actually, since that's when we start.
Yes.
So, anyway, it was a good time. And I actually got here before you, sir.
Of course. That's the irony of it all.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you what else happened this week in my life. The This Week in Alon's Life should be a segment.
I can hear the harps playing.
I have mentioned recently my engagement to a lovely young lady. That's still happening. In addition, I just bought a new house. A new house. Now, that in itself, not that impressive. Everybody's buying houses these days. In fact, if you don't buy a house, it's really just a criminal act. You should go buy one now.
I'm a criminal.
Yeah, but you're stuck in your current house.
Thank you.
But I have a lot of friends who are not living in houses or who are just making the bold decision not to buy right now.
Well, they're like, what, like $10,000? I mean, like, just like don't buy a few video
games
or something.
You should actually look at houses in Detroit. You could literally buy a house in Detroit for less than $10,000.
Yeah, but Detroit is like full of holes.
No, but let's say you have a job that you could do completely over the internet. Or let's say you don't have a job and you have enough money to just sort of subsist with groceries for a while. No rent. You buy a house for $2,500, and if you don't mind that there's holes in the wall and maybe toilets that
are
missing.
There's not holes in the wall in Detroit. There's holes in the city.
Well, that's also true. But you would own a piece of land with a bunch of useless bricks on top of it, $2,500 in Detroit,
you know,
because nobody wants to be there right now.
You know what's funny? Right now, you know what's funny about that? You ever seen the movie Kentucky Fried Movie?
Yes, but it was a super long time ago.
Comedy like came out in like what, like
78 or
79
something?
or something like that, right? Okay. They were making jokes about Detroit. That's where
30 years ago.
That's where all the prisoners were being sent after they had their heads chopped off.
That's interesting. All right. Well, I do not have a $2,500 house, but I do have a house that now has brand new toilets. I just wanted to let everybody know. It's very important.
This is very important.
I was telling Ara this before the program. We underestimate the value of a brand new toilet. Norm, I don't know how long it's been since you've replaced toilets in your house, but I would consider
it. A long time.
Yeah, probably. Now, I know that being in radio doesn't pay a lot because radio hosts, they consistently talk about how little money they make. But an investment in a toilet, especially if you can get one of those Toto ones that shoots the water right up the butt.
Pays dividends.
Yeah. I didn't get one of those, unfortunately, but one day I will. I got a Toto, just not a bidet toilet seat.
I see.
It's a dream of mine to have.
I did replace the seat.
Oh, yes. Well, that's also good. That's important. My seat's hydraulic. It floats down.
Hydraulic.
Yes.
It
floats downward. It doesn't slam
shut.
It has
hydraulic struts.
People seem to care
gas.
About that. Something like that. I don't know. My plumber refers to it as hydraulic. I think he's making it up, but it's an easy way to explain it. So... anyway,
this is something I do not have.
I challenge you all to make a video game about the coolness of my toilet. It's a Toto Drake. If you're thinking I want to get the same toilet as Alon, because Alon is awesome and certainly has good taste in toilets. Honestly, the the seat shape. I don't know how much I love.
Yeah.
This one of those curves downwards in the center.
Yeah. You didn't get one. You didn't get one of those like, extra curvy like.
No. It's just contoured. But I get different shaped butts.
I gotta rant for a second now. You know when you go to like the airport or like some weird place and you go to the bathroom there.
Weird by virtue of the shape of the toilet.
You go to the toilet and the toilet has like they designed the toilet seat so that like. For maximum surface area attached to your buttocks.
That's what I got,
You've
man.
You've seen those.
Yeah.
I don't understand
Angle
that.
Down.
I don't. No, nobody wants that. You want the minimum surface area touching your butt, not so the maximum.
Wait, you want your toilet seat to be made of needles?
Look. there's obviously a balance there, right? But nothing is accomplished by like making sure that all of the germs of all of the 100,000 patrons who visited that toilet that day is now on the bottom
Dude,
of your
don't
legs.
Don't think for a second that the keyboard I'm using right here is not 1,000 times more dirty than any toilet seat you've ever encountered.
Stuff. You know what? I don't want that stuff touching my butt. All right?
I'd rather touch my butt than my hands. So I've got a great humorous toilet story I can tell you, but I'll do it off the air just because we've used up enough time.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about video games today.
Maybe. There are video games related to toilets. People at MIT make the old peeing in the urinal video game.
Sure somebody
shoot
has.
The hamster.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you know what? We can tie this into video game design.
We could.
Even. And I will right now.
Okay.
So there was, in Europe, they did some kind of, I don't know, someone was crazy. And they decided, hey, people can't aim. This is actually urinals. People can't aim when they're peeing in the urinals, right? Just mess everywhere. We got to clean it up. What can we do to improve people's aim?
Target. Right?
Exactly. What they did was they actually put a marking that looked like a fly on just off center on the bottom of the urinal, right? And it's not a bullseye necessarily, but that's exactly how it functions. Without any kind of explicit instruction, right, people would naturally pee right onto that fly, because if you see a fly in the toilet, that's where you're peeing.
Even the ladies would come out to try it.
Well, perhaps, right? And you may ask, Why is this, and what the hell does that have to do with video games, right? Well, you could say that the presence of, something, a marker of contrast like that, like the fly, is something that affords peeing onto. In other words, you can very easily see, oh, okay, that's where I want to pee. I want to pee right there, right? And you just naturally do it. And as silly as this sounds, right, this is exactly the same kinds of principles that people use to actually do good game design. Things like take it a step further to maybe make the connection, right?
Like giving a visual indicator or giving them a task?
Here's another example that's going to bridge the gap here, right? So let's say you're designing a door, okay? Like in video games, you design lots of things that function in different ways, right? So depending on how you design the handle of the door, the player or the person in real life will think to do one of several things with it, right? If the door has just a plate on it, right, what can you do with a plate?
What do you mean a plate?
Like a plate, like a just a metal plate on the door. What can you do with the door if there's just a plate?
I don't know. I'll let you answer that.
You can push it.
That's true.
You can push it.
But you can't pull it.
You can't pull it, right?
Okay,
so,
I see what you're saying.
Right? So it can only do one thing.
It's not a plate with a handle, it's just a plate.
Now, if there's a handle on it, right, what can you do with the handle? Well, you can pull the handle, right? Well, you can also push the handle.
Well, you could also lay your dish towel on it.
You can do a lot of different things, right? Yes. But in the context of the action of, I want the player to, let's say, pull open the door in this imaginary scenario, right, or push open the door, right? If you give the player a set of options that seem equally possible based on what the thing looks like, then they could presumably do any one of several things with it, right? If you construct whatever the player's looking at in a way so that they can only really reasonably do one thing with it, right, then you could say that that design affords that type of activity. And so you're going to be pretty confident that that's pretty much all they're going to do with it. So, for example, where I work in my office building, right, it's a terrible design. They have vertical bars, right, for pulling, and horizontal bars for pushing. And it's a bad design because the horizontal bar shouldn't be a bar. It should be either a plate or some kind of extrusion that you can't actually grab onto, right? Because if you can't grab onto it, you can't pull it. I mean, you could if you really tried, but you wouldn't think to do that first, right? So
Do you think to pull the press bars, though? Because nobody does that.
Well, you do, because the bar is actually jutting out just enough that it's, once again, it affords pulling, right? And so all the time we see people going up to the door trying to pull it because it looks like it's something you can pull, and you can't. You can only push it.
Oh, is it just that thin one, not the one that has the big press thing
right.
to unlock? It's just a little... I see. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, so that's why when you go up to a door and... You can't, you do the wrong thing, and you're like, I'm so stupid. Well, I mean, you might be stupid, but usually it's...
Did you ever walk straight into a door?
No, that's really stupid.
Done that before. It was all glass, though.
And if it's, and once again, that's bad design, right? And it's this exact same kind of principles for video game design.
Well, in their defense, the handle was black.
Because if you can't see the door, you don't know it's there.
I was in Switzerland once at a camp where my parents were trying to make me learn French. And they had all glass doors, and I totally walked right into it, head first, this 10-foot door.
Right.
Everybody stares at that point when you walk into a door.
So you're not that stupid, as even though you might look it if you do that, it's because of the design of the door.
I was 13.
You might be 13. Anyway, in those types of situations, I blame the designer. I don't blame the user. And it's really the exact same situation. You're a user of a door. Player of a door, user of a video game, player of a video game. Anyway.
User of a urinal.
Sure. Exactly. Yes. And a lot of these concepts, actually, I got to give credit to this guy named Don Norman. He's a total badass when it comes to usability, interface design, stuff like that. He wrote an awesome book called The Design of Everyday Things. You should totally go and read that book because...
What's his name?
Don Norman, I'm pretty sure. We should look that up in case it's wrong.
Let me give you a challenge here. Girls... When they use the restroom, they have a different thing. Like, we just miss aiming, but they hover. And then they miss when they hover, and they pee on their own
pants. And they make even more of a mess, and everywhere else.
So as a game designer, an interface designer, which you're not, I would challenge you to come up with some sort of solution in the laboratory to help the ladies with the hovering.
Well, you know what they do in places like India?
Just a hole in the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it can be like a nice hole in the wall. It doesn't have to be just like, you know, like a... Dug out with
so basically, women should have urinals as well, but they should be holes in the ground rather than holes on the wall.
Well, if it's a hole, right, then all you can do is squat on top of it, and there's nothing for you to touch because your butt can't really touch the ground when you're squatting like that, right?
Yes.
So actually, you know what? I got to say that's a better way to design a toilet because I can't believe we bought toilets and video games together.
This is fantastic.
Completely off the
cuff. Dude, and I don't want anyone to think that this was a funny bit, because then we'd be told that we have nothing but potty humor.
Completely unplanned, everybody.
Yeah. We don't script these things out.
But I have to say, it's better to squat. The poo comes out of you so much more easily if you're squatting.
Because you're clenching already.
It's not because of the clenching.
What if it was just
it's
short
just
tube?
Natural.
Not all the way on the floor, but just a thin tube you could wrap your legs around without having to go so wide.
That's scary now. Now I'm scared.
Or a tube that comes up and then forward so that the panties at the bottom can still go underneath where you're squatting.
Okay, well.
I just designed it. I designed the women's urinal.
We'll be back.
Awesome.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, where we take the most outlandish subjects and explain to you how they relate to video games.
That was synergy.
Yeah, that was.
Come up with a wonderful story about my home and my life, and you turn it into video game academia.
Right. So here's what we're going to do from now on, okay? This is the standing Chatterbox challenge to all you listeners out there. Send us an email. Give us the most... unrelated topic, perhaps disgusting, perhaps not, that you can think of, and I will relate it to video games in a substantial and useful and educational way.
I'd like to be able to participate in that challenge as well.
Okay, well, you can do the challenge too, but
you'll be better at it, but I would like to
have
the option.
Sure. Well, we'll both do it, but I want our listeners to challenge us.
Perhaps we could both prepare something, and then the listeners could say... which one they like better.
So what's our email again? How can they email us?
Well, the website has a contact form that'll go to me on it, the contact whatever, but you can just straight up email us, Alon@chatterboxgameshow.com or Ara@chatterboxgameshow.com. And if you do, preferably both of us.
Preferably.
Yeah. Speaking of email, we got an email, an angry email.
Oh, I love those. Those are my favorites.
We got an angry email, and the trouble is I get so much press release crap.
It warms my heart.
Yeah, it's hard to find through all of the press release junk that I get on a daily basis.
You know what doesn't warm my heart?
What? I found it.
The fact that pretty much like all the video game blogs, or actually not all of them, but most of them, and I won't mention which ones, have basically just descended into just troll city. Just like every single thing, it's like, oh yeah, we're trying to piss you off by posting this. It's getting really tiresome. Yeah,
well, it's hard not to. Are you talking about really the authors tiresome. Or the commenters?
No, the authors. It's getting very tiresome. You know who you are. We're not amused.
Oh, I'm not sure who you're talking about, but I mean, I can see that.
But they know.
You mean they try to be elitist a-holes kind of like me on the show?
No, much, much worse than you.
Okay. And I know I've set the bar high. So, you know, I was going to read some of this, but I think maybe we should look at it during the break. The angry email.
Okay, sure.
From LN, which might mean licensed nurse, I don't know. Lumen, apparently. We appreciate that people email us when they're angry or happy or whatever, so continue to do that. We'll talk about this after the break.
Any state of mind.
After the next break, I mean. Now, last week, we promised we would talk a little bit more about the thing that we didn't talk about last week we were planning on because Tyrone was here. By the way, everybody, go get Cave Story for WiiWare. So we had a great article 2 weeks ago. Fantastic. 5 ways that video games are trying to, you know, ruin your life or something. It's something about addicting games.
Get you addicted, yes.
I don't know if we have it in front of us right now, but
I have it in front of us right now.
You and I, we each wanted to make a specific point, the same point.
The same one.
so we talked about this article, and again, you should go read it. It's at crack.com. Somebody wrote it, talks about games or something. You can find it at crack.com. I think a guy named Dan wrote it. Am I right?
David Wong, pretty
David,
close.
David, not Dan. All right, whatever. First two letters.
Yeah.
So
you're almost as good as a psychic.
Almost. It's a good article. You should read it. But beyond that, it talks about incentivizing people to make an action. I'm thinking of 2 weeks back of this spiel I wanted to give on this. So it gives people incentive. And this article breaks it down specifically into doing things. And the article starts off with that box thing where you've got a rat.
Right. All that stuff. And basically, like, it's like there's techniques to give the player basically, like, just enough incentive to keep doing something, even though the activity that they're engaging in is just absolutely mind-numbing.
Yeah. And so the scientific example or the actual scientific experiment involved a rat pressing a button. Every time he pressed the button, well, a set of rats had one test and another set had another test. So some rats, they press a button, they get a pellet of food. They press a button, they get a pellet of food. Eventually, they stop pressing it because they know if they press it, they'll get the food when they need it. The other example is they press it, they may or may not get food. They press it, they may or may not get food. Over time, of course, if they press it, they know they'll get food after so many attempts. But they don't know when exactly. So they just feverishly attack that button because they don't know that they'll definitely be able to get it.
This is why, like, when I approach elevator buttons or crosswalk buttons, I rapid fire press them until my hand falls off or the actual action occurs.
Because you don't know how it works.
But, well, it's like, hey, it's a zero feedback system. Where's the elevator?
Yeah.
I'll just keep pressing the button. Where's the light turning? I'll just keep pressing the button. I swear it works.
Okay, so anyway, further on in the article, he talks about people playing games like MMOs that they can be reduced to a certain set of actions, or at least the developers, if they're thinking this way intentionally, they create these actions that although they appear to be somehow interesting or more than something that's very, very simple, they can all be boiled down to something very simple. The example might be in a Diablo-style game where you essentially are just clicking the mouse over and over
right,
and over.
Grinding,
it's the same of all
grinding,
games.
Grinding,
yeah.
Right.
You're grinding. And
so,
this made me think.
Go ahead.
All right. I think we're both getting the same point. This reminded me of a game by Tyler Glale. Do I have the name
yeah,
right?
Yep. That's what we wanted to mention.
All right. Now, when you were at GDC showing off Night Game, which is yet to be released on WiiWare. But
yeah,
I think
it's actually called Night Sky now.
Oh, it's name change.
Night Sky.
Okay.
Yeah.
So also coming up from the same people who made the Cave Story or converted Cave Story. To WiiWare. So Tyler Glale, he's showing off some game
which I worked on, not that game, but
Night
Sky. Night.
Nice guy.
Worked on it. That's me.
Right next to you at the GDC Pavilion thing for the IGF, was showing off some other game. And then, you know, it's your booth, it's your computer, you can do what you want. After a while, he just turned on this other game that he had made a year before or something.
It was actually Edmund McMillan's game, but they're buddies, so...
He was there.
Yeah, that's all
fine. Good. Well, whatever. He turned on a game that, you know, he has up on the internet somewhere. Turned it on just to screw with people. And he explained that he had made this game in some coding competition or thing where he was given a short time to make a game, I think. And I could be wrong about the story, but it's irrelevant. This game involves you clicking like a light switch or something.
Yeah, there's a light switch, and every time you click on it, there's a counter that increments. And
yes, so you get feedback. You see that the number gets higher.
Right, and you can click arbitrarily fast. So the faster you click on it, the faster this counter increments.
Yeah, you click slowly or fast, but it goes up. And then at first, you do get some sort of reward, right? Like something appears on the screen.
Right, well, there's the light switch is turning the light off, turning the light on, right? And every time the light turns on, right, at certain intervals, something else appears in this graphic of a room.
Yeah, it's a room. And you turn the light off and on, but the more you do it, the less frequently things show up. And so people sit there, well, sat there.
But things keep showing up over and over and over.
Yeah.
More things appear in this room as you click it.
But it just keeps happening. And the things are mundane and they don't do anything. They just sort of appear. But as I understand, after a while, all you're doing is pressing the button and nothing else is happening other than the counter.
Well, there's – I don't know at which point
I don't even know if there's a counter.
I believe that it ends, if I'm not mistaken.
Eventually it does.
Eventually it does, but yes. I mean, at one point, you're just – you have to click on it an inordinate amount of times to produce something new.
We're talking thousands.
New in this room, and there's nothing functional here. All the game is you're clicking the button to produce a new graphic, basically.
Exactly. And eventually it gets to the point where you're taking this action, which is hugely boring. And because you've been trained to expect a reward, right? Even though the reward is completely mundane and useless, you do this and you do this and you do it. And then you expect, well, eventually, when it's all done, when there is an ending to this game, I'm going to have some big reward, even though you can tell that this game was, you know, made by someone who just wanted to screw with you. And eventually it does end. And I don't remember what happens, but it's an incredibly poor, like, unsatisfying.
Well, it's just ending. Like you beat the game, whatever, right? But I don't think he actually did it to screw with people. I think
specifically said I made this game just to screw with
people. Really?
Yeah, to me.
Well, despite his proclamation, I think it was a legitimate experiment.
Honestly, I don't know if he had the thought process. Like, he was a pretty young guy. He was like 15 or something when he made that game, and I really think he made it just to screw with people. But it ties in perfectly with this article.
Yes,
to show
exactly
that
the same thing.
Incentivizing and even very small amounts of incentive can cause an action. Because we don't stop to think, like, what am I gaining from this?
Right.
What am I gaining from the chests that I pay to open in that other game?
Right, right, exactly. This is why I hate GamerScore.
Because it's essentially useless.
This is essentially what GamerScore is. And it doesn't have to be what it is, but because of just the way that that whole thing has been developed, maybe we'll talk about it later. We have an interesting piece on that. But, you know, because of the way that developers, by and large, overall, have constructed the things that you do to get gamer score, it's basically this sort of thing, right? Like, one game you can play for 10 minutes and get 1,000 points, right? In some games, it's actually a legitimate measure of your skill.
I'll have you know, I just got the very last achievement in Civilization Revolution.
Yes, because you play that religiously.
Well, but I specifically played to get that last achievement.
Right.
Because you have to beat it with all the people.
And now
I'm not going to play anymore.
And
I knew that this would be my last game.
And how do you feel after achieving that?
I was just happy that it was done. It was a completionist effort. There was
exactly.
It's just a completionist effort.
And you know what the other thing is, right? Like, I've talked about Disgaea in years past here. And
how disgusted you are with
it. It's the same exact thing, and it's the same disgusted feeling I get for myself because I keep leveling up my characters, and eventually I get up to the point where I'm like, why am I leveling up? For no reason, just to see the number go up.
Yep. We'll be right back, folks. Go feel good for yourselves.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
We are so back. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com. That's chatterboxgameshow.com to learn a little bit more about our show. It's a super old website. I haven't updated it in forever, but it has a chat room, and
you should go there.
Has pictures of us.
And it has our shows and stuff on there, too.
Yeah, the chat room probably actually doesn't work because it hasn't been working for the last few weeks. Come on. Anyway, yep, it's not working. I really got to get somebody to fix that. Anyway.
Maybe the guy who installed your toilets can fix that.
Yes, and speaking of toilets, if you have an interest in discussing the academic value of toilets in gaming, you should consider visiting uat.edu. as step one, and then consider visiting University of Advanced in Technology as step two, and perhaps visiting long-term as a student, because that's what they do. They teach about gaming, and you can have intelligent discussions about toilets and gaming if you are good enough to convince the professor to let you do that. And, you know, they're pretty open about those things.
Cool. So besides the pooey subject that we've been talking about, since we're on the subject of achievements, there was a recent little story on achievements that I'd like to share with everybody.
The subject really is just useless activities.
Well, yeah. Now there's this group called EDAR, which does
they've been showing up on my radar a lot lately.
Yeah, which does questionable activities in my opinion. But they gave a talk at GDC this year, and they basically did an analysis of achievement trends as far as, like, how many players are getting achievements, how many players are getting how many achievements, and so on, right? So this is – it's kind of interesting to me, wholly unsurprising and also reassuring, because what they found out was that basically less than 10% of everybody who plays Xbox Live games – or Xbox games, just period, that have achievements, get more than 80% of the achievements out there.
That's because some of the achievements are crazy impossible.
Now, this is true. This is true, right? But only 27% of players actually even get half of the achievements out there.
I think they should have limited it to games that aren't stupid hard to get the full 1,000 points.
Maybe, but their methodology basically involved a quote random sampling of 100 games. So just for purposes of discussion, we can assume that that's a good way to sample games.
Okay.
And they had a chart where they actually showed, okay, like, you know, what range of players got, or how many players got, you know, at least 20% of achievements, and how many players got at least 30 and 40 and 50 and so on. And the curve is actually, I mean, it's pretty much what you would expect, right?
Yeah, more people get 10%.
It's pretty linear, 20. Right? Yes, it's fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer people get more achievements rather than less. And it's almost a straight line until you get to...
By the way, let me just pause 1 second there.
Right.
That's what EDAR does. They they bring forth to paper the obvious.
Yes, it is obvious. I mean, that's what I would have guessed if you had forced me to make a guess. And another thing that was kind of obvious to me that they also reported is that when you look at the percent of players who get 100%, right, it's actually a little more than the percent of players that get, let's say, 90 to 99% of all achievements.
Yeah, which it jumps up.
Right, which suggests that basically if you're a player and...
I'm a player.
You get almost all the achievements for your game, you are more likely to actually really try and just get all of it and complete all the achievements for that game.
Don't be a player hater, man.
And that makes sense, too. That makes intuitive sense to me, because I've experienced that, you've experienced that, you just told me that that's what you did, basically.
Hell yes, I did, just a couple nights ago. I am the champion. I would still play that game multiplayer, but I think there's no incentive for me to play single player anymore.
Yeah. I've experienced that as well, but
except maybe to get one of the wonders of the world that I didn't get.
Yeah, now that's some crazy talk right there.
I don't know which one it is I didn't get.
But this reassures me. This reassures me because this tells me that most players are not obsessed and driven to get lots and lots of achievements, and that most players do see achievements for what they are, which is something to be ignored most of the time.
I want to know where they got access to all this information. Did they just use their friends lists? That's... Or did Microsoft give them info?
Well, let's see. I mean, according... So Joystick did a post on this, and according to their reporting, they said that they basically were able to access 32 million data points provided by a site called MyGamerCard.net. So I guess MyGamerCard.net has fished for and recovered all of your... I guess it's public data, right?
It is.
Yeah, so...
It's just hard to get all in mass. Like,
yeah, so...
Wow.
So keep trucking, guys. Don't let those achievements take over your life.
That, yeah, you're right. It's not surprising data at all. What's surprising is that we even decided to comment on it because it's not surprising.
No, no.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that?
That's... Okay, that's what we got. All right, so let's talk about something else that's more interesting.
The Thief?
Yeah, let's talk about The Thief. This is like the hottest story that I've heard of in recent memory.
It just got hotter.
Yeah.
I just read this last night, I think, laying in bed on the old iPhone.
That's...
Hey, you excited the iPad's coming this weekend?
Details.
Huh? iPad, woo! No?
Not really.
Yeah,
no.
Me neither. Kind of, because I'm going to
try
it out.
You know what? I'm just, like, I will...
I know you're immune to that stuff. I was just messing with you.
I was about to say I will not buy Apple products because... they don't have rechargeable batteries, but I just realized that I've bought an Apple product that has a non-rechargeable battery in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? My iPhone just got replaced last week. I'm on number 3 now. Both times, battery problems.
Yeah, but
they just made it replaceable.
I hate it when they do that. And I've heard the BS about, like, oh, they do that so the battery can last longer and all that other stuff, and I still think that's BS.
No. I've had 2 now.
It's communist. It's communist. That's what it is. They're communist.
You don't want to throw out the word fascist?
They should be throttled. They're probably fascists, too. They're probably statists and what's another bad word?
I don't know.
Okay, but yeah, all those
Nazis.
Nazis, yeah, national socialists, all those bad words, that's what they are.
All right.
Okay.
So let's talk about The Thief, and then when we get back from the break, we really will talk about the angry email we got.
We really will. Okay, so here's the story so far. This was at PAX, right?
Just happened, this Penny Arcade Expo East Boston.
PAX East, right?
I was totally ready to go and didn't go.
So basically, there was a game that this company called Atomic Games was demoing.
Breach,
right? It's just fun. That's a funny name for a game, right? A little ironic.
First-person shooter, right?
So the president of the game is giving an interview on video at their booth, and... this guy, Dave Trachtenberg, who I think is their PR guy, is, watching things, making sure everything's going in order, doing what a good PR spokesperson should do. And he just notices, hey, there's this guy who's... just this guy.
Okay.
Who's standing over some of their equipment, and he has a laptop in his hand, and there's a cable running from his laptop to their equipment, right? So they're like, hey, what are you doing, right? So as soon as he gets called out, like, what are you up to here, right? He just unplugs the cable, takes his laptop, and just goes off running into the expo.
Different story than what I read. I read that he actually sort of was like, oh, I'm just stealing your code.
Yeah, so there's different reports, but we're just going to pretend it happened like this for better storytelling purposes.
Okay.
Anyway,
I don't know. The other story is better. Just be cocky like that. Oh, I'm taking your code. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I'm just going to say that happened later, okay?
Okay.
So there's a bunch of people who work for the company who basically go after him, and, you know, some kind of movie-style chase ensues, and they're able to thwart his escape, and they catch up to him, and once they confront him, he gives up the chase, and he's put into some room somewhere, and he's being questioned, and I think that's when what you said happened, which is, you know, they ask him, like, what were you doing? And he's like, well, go ahead.
Taking your code. And what's great is, why are you doing it? Oh, it's not a big deal. I didn't want to distribute it on the internet. I just wanted to play it with my friends. And I'm thinking, how are you going to play a game that's Xbox Live?
Yeah, I liked your game so much, I just wanted to play it with my friends.
But also, how could you accomplish that? If I had that code all right now, I would, even if I had this, like, the knowledge of coding and connecting and the networks and whatever,
yeah,
I don't think it would work. Because it has to be played over Xbox Live. It's not like there's a local LAN play on that thing.
Well, and it's not even necessarily executable with whatever tools he may or may not have. I mean, who knows, right? But he was just getting data. Now, you asked me a really good question before. I was like, how the heck did he actually manage to copy this stuff? And the way he was able to do it was there's this application called like Xbox Neighborhood or whatever, which is basically
for developers. It's legitimate software for developers.
It's for developers. It's not like a secret thing or anything. Every developer has it, and it basically allows you to see dev kits that are on the network. Mm-hmm. And you can, just like another computer, you can see the dev kit, and you can access files on it.
And you can put files on it so that you can then play the games on the dev kit.
Right, and you can also just directly copy from, you know, the dev kit to your hard drive, right? And, I mean, I'm sure that you can add some security permissions there, but normally the developers don't really, because you only really use the, you know, the Xbox Neighborhood in environments that you think are already secure. Anyway, that's the application he had. That's how he got it. And we'll give you more details when we come back.
All right. And we're going to talk about angry email. So get angry about something, like toilets. Go to our website, click on some sort of link, and email us. Or just use your everyday email client and email us angry stuff. Do it now. Now!
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the final segment, Chatterbox.
And thank you for taking the time to visit UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, where you can have intelligent discussion about teabagging.
Yeah, okay, so before we get to that, let's finish up what we're talking about.
We're not done, okay.
We're not done with the game code theme.
But so, I've alluded to what we might discuss in
a
moment.
Yes, this is a technique called foreshadowing. It's very useful. So they catch the guy, this guy at PAX, who stole some game code, tried to run away. They catch him. They call the cops. The cops are questioning him. The cops are surprised that he's just very just nonchalant about the whole thing. And he'll say things like, like you said, like, I was just going to play it. I was just going to play with my friends. Apparently, he made a bunch of jokes with the police. So the police were like, okay, maybe this guy is crazy. Maybe he's insane, schizo, whatever. So they're like, hey, do you know where you are? Do you realize where you are? And this is a serious question. And his response is, does not knowing where I am, is that going to get me out of this? And apparently he reportedly also asked the cop that, hey, if I give you $100, is that going to get me out of this? And of course, you know, the cops at least this time were not sufficiently corrupt.
Well, he was in Boston, not Chicago. That's the difference.
Ah, I see. Okay. Yeah. That's good cops in Boston.
What do you think you are?
Yeah. So,
is probably how it's
right. So, long story short, right? He's arrested. He goes to jail. He's got bail.
Only
$200 bail. Okay. So, I think he paid bail, got released. He's arraigned for court, right? This means you have to show up for a court.
Yeah. There's no option at that point.
Guess who doesn't show up for a court?
Little man.
Yeah. Okay. So, how bad is this?
It's really bad idea.
Really, really bad not to show up for court. So now this guy has an arrest warrant out for him, right?
And apparently what I read, it said, blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, I can't find it anymore. Neither offense carries a minimum term. What am I reading here? For the moment, he's only in default and not facing any enhanced penalties. Yeah,
this is why we're professionals.
So he hasn't paid his bail yet. Or his full bail or whatever. So, but he's not getting increased problems or increased fines or jail time or whatever because it hasn't been long enough. Right. I don't know what the rules
are. They probably just want to scare him. But it's funny because the whole code base was about 2 gigs that
see the police report
attempted to copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that on.
And he wanted to do it under the nose of
several
people.
Blogs. And he only managed to copy about 15 megabytes. So what I don't get is, really, you're standing there with a cable going into the booth's equipment, and you expect to be able to copy 2 gigs without being noticed? This is something you believe will happen?
Well, if his drive is a fast write speed, you know, it could be done pretty quick.
Well, he got 15 megabytes before they found out, so apparently not.
What I like is they say that the attempted theft of breach was valued at over $6 million.
His
gamer tag was online today.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So,
all right.
you're going to be in deep trouble, dude.
Dude, sometimes when you're a kid and things are so easy to access, you forget the severity of your crimes.
What's his name? Justin May. Justin D. May. Your
Justin
name...
may end up in jail.
Yeah, Justin D. May, 20 years old of Delaware. Your name has now been broadcast over
Delaware. Oh, somebody else has lived near Delaware before, huh?
Yeah. So, dude, just turn yourself in. It's not worth it.
All right. So, do you want me to read this whole thing?
Yeah, please. Please, right. For everyone's entertainment value.
This is good. People get upset at me when I make fun of our listeners, but some stuff like this.
Okay, I'll preface this. Okay, I'll qualify this.
You didn't even remember what we talked about.
Not only that, but I want to qualify that we really, really do not want to insult or make fun of our listeners. But sometimes you just make it so impossible for us not to.
It's difficult sometimes.
And everybody who I don't know doesn't have a long pole up. A part of their body will, I think, agree.
Yeah, and this isn't the old standby of poor English or bad spelling either. This is contextual.
Well, very, very well grammatically put together, I must say.
It's not perfect, but yeah, it's good. It's well written for the most part.
Yeah.
It's
now,
context.
Now we just got to make sure they're not crazy.
Right. Now, last week we discussed a new game from addictinggames.com. They had sent me a press release, and every once in a while I actually read those things.
Right.
And this one, the subject of the email was teabag Sarah Palin's opponents in a new game.
Because that's what you do. Isn't that what you do in the new game?
Teabag Bomber or something. It's about the National Tea Party thing. Anyway, it's just a timely, relevant, quick flash game or something.
Sure. A little snippet of video game news, if you will.
Now, we were making fun of the press release and just how far they go to advertise these games. And it was funny, man. Like, I respect the addictinggames.com people for coming up with something that made me read it. That's their goal.
I didn't think it was that funny, but you know what? It was definitely lighthearted and not serious.
Yeah, but I don't recall actually discussing politics. And I'll just say that and now read the email. So LN, or Lumen4 at someaddress.com, says, I find it a little bizarre how mature and intelligent you guys can sound when discussing video games and then go completely off the deep end in juvenility when you discuss politics. Seriously, what is it with guys like you and people like Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, and others who support the Tea Party movement? If you disagree with what they stand for, i.e. smaller government, fiscal responsibility, balanced budgets, then why not say something intelligent, backed up with facts to refute it? Is it just cool to call people you disagree with teabaggers or something? In my experience, usually when people resort to name-calling, etc., it's a sign they have no valid argument to refute something they are uncomfortable with. I really don't get it. I've lost a lot of respect for the both of you. So...
He's lost a lot of respect for us!
Yeah.
Because we're always talking about politics.
So, I just want to be clear. Dude, first of all, I'm sorry that we bothered you. Right? That we upset you. Certainly we weren't meaning to. Today might be a different story, but last week we weren't, and I can only guess this is a result of you not listening to what we said, and maybe only hearing it in like the periphery.
You know
what?
You know what I think it is. No, this is these crazy, yes, crazy political fundamentalists, and I'm not going to say what type of fundamentalist you are. That once you hear, this is like.
If you hear one key word, you think it's horrible?
Yes. This is like if like somebody makes a joke and there's a black person in it, they're racist.
Yeah.
Or if somebody uses the word bomb like at the airport, like even though like it's just completely different context, like, yeah, man, that soda pop was bomb.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're a terrorist. We should, you know, we can't say that there because, you know, that's just too serious or something.
Yeah.
No.
So
no.
It's just clear that you weren't paying attention. And that's a simple crime.
Right, but people like this, let me tell you, people like this are looking for fights. They are looking for somebody that has any iota of a semblance of a disagreement, whether they're even actually talking about what they think they're talking about or not, and they're just ready to jump. He's playing a little game called, you know, oh, I'm going to be...
Right back.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to be the right back guy. No, but he's playing another game.
What I don't
get,
though, is the second paragraph where it says, seriously, what is it with guys like you and Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and others who support the Tea Party movement? And immediately after suggesting we support it, he says, if you disagree with what they stand for. So I don't understand what he was even trying to say other than he lost respect for us. So Well, you know, one down.
I'm not even. Maybe we should just reveal like our political inclinations on here.
I think I have been not shy about that.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know anything about the Green Party. I frankly don't care. I mean, I'll just tell you right now. Like,
this is a Tea Party, not the Green Party.
Yeah. Okay. Did I say green?
Yes.
I was thinking of green tea. That was why.
Okay.
Tea Party.
I honestly never heard of the Tea Party until this email or until that press release.
Right. No, I've heard of it. I don't know what it is other than maybe just pissed off Republicans who don't think the Republicans are Republican enough. I don't know. But hey, you know what? I'm pretty libertarian as far as that stuff goes.
I can't even tell where this guy stands because he suggests that we're with them and then he suggests we're against them.
I don't know. And the most hilarious thing about it all is that we're just completely, it's not even about that. We're not even talking about that.
Yeah. I could, though. Like, yeah. I could tell you that I don't have any respect for Sarah Palin and that I would be happier if she were not around.
I guess we're just like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck. I guess that's what we're just like.
Apparently.
Apparently.
I just don't get it. I don't know if he likes her or hates her.
Wow. I'm just like, wow. I'm impressed in all the wrong ways.
Adventures in email. So anyway, with that, I invite you guys to all send an email that perhaps we won't brutally make fun of on the air, because you know that's fun, and we've had people send emails that we appreciate.
Yes,
good.
Yes, we've had not lately, so we're a little disappointed. So guys, come on, shape up.
I do like
critical thinking.
The attempted use of the word juvenility. I don't even know how to pronounce it or if it's a real word, but I understand the point. He's creating English on the fly, which is a valuable thing.
Well, he's just looking for a fight. He's just cruising, looking for a bruising.
Apparently.
So.
All right. Well, we're quickly approaching the end of the show. And by that, I mean we are at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're going to be back next week. As always, go to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to contact us. And, you know, go get a toilet. I suggest the Toto Drake. Apparently, it can suck down two Big Macs.
Yeah. Draw a little... Yeah. Fly on it, and then you won't spill as much.
And I gotta tell you, I'm a powerhouse. Knowing that it can suck down two Big Macs makes me feel more secure.
I don't even want to know why there's Big Macs floating around your toilet, but that's
another story. No, I mean, my plumber told me a story of at a home show, they lined up 20 Toto toilets, and each one couldn't flush down a single Big Mac, and this one could. This particular model could. Not only that, it could suck down two of them.
Okay, so we are the Toto Drake of...
No more plunging for me.
...of the video game press.
Yes, we are. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.